Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:02 p.m. on the East Coast, and it's 3:02 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is July the 9th, 2022, and you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the Michael Gay Network. I'm your host, Michael Gay, and happy Saturday to each and every one of you. We have a pretty interesting show again for you today. We have some hot topics we're going to get into. And I'm wondering, and I'm hoping everyone can hear me. Blog Talk never ceases to amaze me to have some issues. Like right now, I can't get into the chat room for some reason, and I don't understand the reason for that. So I'm hoping everyone can hear me. So if you're a friend of mine, personal friend of mine, and you can hear it if you're tuned in on the internet, just drop me a message that you are receiving this show on your device if you're not listening through your phone line, okay? Interesting. I'm going to take a look myself and see if there's any problems. But if this is the case with Blog Talk, you know, I said might have to pack bags and go elsewhere. This Blog Talk, you're really disappointing me lately. So I might have to seek other possibilities out there. All right, so I don't see any of my co-hosts logging in. Normally, they would be texting me or letting me know that there's an issue on that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, go online myself and see if I can see the board up. How about that? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So if I go here and then look, and sure enough, there is the show. And it says I'm on air, so let me see if I'm going to get a little feedback now. I can hear myself. Let's see. Maybe that'll work. Maybe it won't. But I'll find out in a minute. So it's loading for audio. And it shows I'm on air. Or does it? Interesting concept here. All right, so let me go back. And like I said, if you guys can hear me, let me know if you can or cannot hear me. And I'll find out what the problem is. This is not normal. So let me take a quick music break. And let me just check and see if there is any difficulties going on right now with Wall Talk. We'll be right back.
I'm
Okay. Things will look a little better. All right, welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show. And that was Dynasty and Solar recording artist Dynasty with Here I Am. And by the way, the lead vocalist on there is our one and only brother, Mr. Kevin Spencer of Dynasty. You guys know him. He's visited us a number of times here on the show. And Kevin just celebrated like 5 days ago, well, last week, his 76th birthday. So happy birthday, Kevin. And hopefully you'll be dropping by again soon because, you know, he's working on his story. Well, actually, his book about Solar Records. And he's got some awesome stories. So we look forward to having Kevin join us. Pretty soon again, and the information of how we're going to get a hold of this book. One of my co-hosts is here, the lady of the house. She is on the line, and you guys please welcome the one, the only, Miss Janet Polly Hawkins Davis.
Okay, hello. How are you this evening? Sorry for being late.
You know,
got
no
a last-minute phone call.
Yeah, I get those all the time. It seems like people wait until it's like 5 minutes before I go on there. I said, you do know I do this, right, at 6 o'clock. You know
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like.
This person knew I was supposed to be on at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shocked when you called. I was like, oh.
You know, I thought something was wrong because earlier today I was downloading some stuff. I wanted to download. I went through to make sure I had everything in order on the board, the songs and everything. And for some reason, I kept getting this error message. And I'm like, oh, no, not today, Blog Talk, not today. In fact, no day, no. But not today. You know, and
right.
I grabbed my other laptop and was starting to use that one. And then all of a sudden, I said, oh, wait a minute, let me go back to this one. And it started operating, got on the board, and all of a sudden it did again. I said, not today, Blog Talk, not today. Well, this one here has basically everything on it. You know what I mean? This one here has all the episodes, all the songs and everything. But, of course, Blog Talk, I have the songs that are already on the Blog Talk board. I don't want to go too deep into detail, but you know what I mean. It's already saved to this. But then Blog Talk, there's a separate file that Blog Talk has that I send over there to make my library on the board, right? So, but I had to download some stuff, so I had to send it over to the Blog Talk computer or soundboard. And I had already had it downloaded, and I just hit transfer. But anyway, long story short, the only issue I'm having right now is the chat room server error. File directory not found. So the chat room is not opening up today. So hopefully that won't be a problem. I'm just hoping that the live broadcast
hopefully people will call instead of just trying to, you know, go online, actually call and listen because you can do both.
And that's what that's what I'm wondering if it's definitely going through online. And that's the concern I have. I did reach out to some folks to let me know if they are able or not able to hear the show online. And if you're listening to me now, go ahead and if you're listening on the phone, and if you know my personal number, if you know my number, just go ahead and text me whether you can hear it online or not. Okay. So, and I see a couple of numbers here on the board that are standing by. Before we get into our topics, I want to ask this question, though, because it hit me the other day. How many people are still wearing their masks? Okay. I don't know if I already asked, but how many people are still wearing their masks every day?
Right.
Are you, Janet?
Yeah, and I was guilty myself today. I put it on. One store I went in, we didn't put it on. Then the next two stores, I did. But sometimes you just, you know, kind of forget. But I got my boosters and, you know, my regular shots and everything. But you still, it's better to be safe than sorry because somebody else might not have had theirs.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's just interesting that, you know, it now it's like putting on your underwear every day. For a lot of people, it's like, oh, got to put on my mask. It's just a normal thing. I do it myself because I'm around different people every day. And as you said, not everybody has gotten a vaccine. Not everybody believes in one. And then again, there's other things out there that you can get sick from, not necessarily to the point of dying, but nobody likes to be sick, right? You know,
right.
We touched on this about colds. You know, you can catch a cold or whatever. You can get salmonella, you know, whatever. You touch something or, you know, put it towards your mouth or whatever, not thinking. You know, public restrooms are about the worst thing you can go into. But it's just become normal for people to put on their mask, it seems. And then some folks will feel relaxed.
Right.
You know, not wearing it.
Well, you got some that never put a mask on and never got the shot.
True.
So then you have
true.
To be careful.
But I've just become the person that whether we had COVID or not, wearing a mask is just a good ideal in this world, regardless. Because you got people who just, ugh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. It just spit when they talk and, you know, stuff like that. You know, I don't know. All right, so let me get to some of these topics. And by the way, you guys, I'm going to do a little bit of trivia and see if you can guess some of these songs. And these are TV theme songs. What you will find interesting is who made and wrote these songs. Some of them are, well, pretty much most of them are back in the day. But I want to see how good you can, or how good your memory is, or how well you know these hit TV songs. And not just the show, but who wrote these songs. So we're going to get into that later on in the show. And by the way, don't forget, in the second hour, our special guest is Amar Khalil, one of the original members of Tony. Now, for you people who are fans of Tony, don't make the mistake and say Tony, okay? I know it's spelled T-O-N-E. Right?
It's got a little accent mark.
And it, right. But yeah, it's tone. I know. But no, it says T-O-N-E, and it has the little,
yeah,
at the top. The E is long. It's not silent. It's not like tone. It's Tony. And then people are, because a person asked me yesterday, who you got on your show Saturday, Mike? I said, Amar Khalil. He's a, you know, member of Tony. Oh, no, you mean Tony. I said, no, Tony. He's going to argue with me. And I'm like, honestly, you don't listen to when they say their own name, do you?
Oh, they've so shown it three different ways. Tony.
Right. So,
wow.
Please, make sure you say it right. You know, it's just like last week, what was it, when I was saying something about who was it? Flavor Flav, and somebody in the chat room said, "What time is it?" And I'm like, "That is not that is not Flavor Flav. That happens to be Morris Day." You know, get it right.
Wait,
if you're
wait,
not
wait,
sure,
wait.
Don't say no. You know. Okay, so.
Sorry, Michael. Yeah, let me put myself on mute.
Yeah, I hear the little ones in the background. Okay. So, let me see here. I don't want to go into the politics thing. I really want to go into something else here that you brought up, Janet, because when I heard this, it really kind of startled me, caught me off guard. I wasn't thinking of you know, you don't ever think of something happening and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, you have memories of it. But James Caan. James Caan passed away. Wow.
Yeah, and I got a lot in all the movies he played in. You know, and the different roles He's been acting for a long time.
Long time. Long time. I mean, I'm thinking, you're right. He's, I mean, you know, when you think about people who've done many movies, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, he's one. Samuel L. Jackson's been over in over 100-plus movies and counting.
Mm-hmm.
But for you guys who don't think of who James Caan is, you got to remember he played Sonny in The Godfather, right? One hell of a role.
And in Misery.
Played, you know, he played in Misery. He played in one of my favorite movies was Rollerball. That was a crazy movie, but, you know, it pretty much like what people want now, really. They really want a real live sport like that movie where you kill the roller derby person. But the one that really stuck out and came to my mind was Brian Song, where he played Brian Piccolo. Him and Gail Sayers, the teammates. And that was the first movie that popped in my head was Brian's Song. You know how long ago that was? That was like 1971, 72? Man.
Right. Yeah, that popped in my head, but
bit.
The Godfather popped in my head first, and then Misery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then I started thinking about the other one.
Let me just read a little bit of what this article says, which is from Yahoo.com. James Caan spent his hiatus from Hollywood coaching kids baseball. The Oscar-nominated actor, think about it, nominated, died on Wednesday at age 82. A statement on his official Twitter page said, "It is with great sadness that we inform you of the passing of Jimmy on the evening of July 6th. The family appreciates the outpouring of love and heartfelt condolences and asks that you continue to respect their privacy during this difficult time." Caan took a 5-year break from his tough guy movie career in the 1980s after having made a name for himself with movies like El Dorado and The Godfather. Because of substance abuse issues, he opted to step back and work on himself. As he recalled to The Independent in 2021, he started doing cocaine, which is like a death sentence, and it lasted a while. During his hiatus, the actor coached his son's Little League team before returning for Godfather director Francis Ford Coppola's 1987 film, Gardens of Stone. "That was when I came back with hunger and thirst," said Caan, of venturing back into acting after his recovery. From there, he did Dick Tracy in Misery in 1990, with many more memorable roles in the years to come, including Eraser, Elf, and Dogville. And I'm just going to read just a little bit more here. It's not that much more. Oh, okay. It says, he told CBS Sunday Mornings last year that he had a bad bout with cocaine for a little while after the 1981 death of his younger sister, Barbara, from leukemia. Quote, "When I lost her, I couldn't handle it. I didn't know what to do." Caan added to The Independent, "Barbara was like my best friend. She was the only person I was afraid of in the world. When she died, passion became this whole thing with me. That's what I loved about my sister. She was just so passionate about whatever she did." Yeah. That's deep. 82 years old.
Yeah.
And he was just nominated. He never won an Academy Award.
Mm-mm.
Never won one.
And he said he never missed a day in his life of working. Never. You know, that's rare for somebody to never miss a day of work.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-mm-mm.
That is rare. And I remember him playing some bad guys, you know. I mean, well, a lot of roles he played, the bad guy, but, you know, some appearances on some TV detective shows here and there. But, yeah, he was an awesome actor, one of the few best. So condolences to his family. I just want to bring that one up. This situation here in England, Boris Johnson, well, you know, he's going to be leaving. there in Britain. He's going to be leaving.
Well, because, he's trying to stick it out, but the people resigned. All the people in his cabinet deserted him. Mm-hmm. They were quitting. So he had no choice but to. But, you know, they say he was like a Donald Trump, told so many lies that they didn't know. Mm-hmm. They could never figure out whether he was telling the truth or not, you know?
Well, they said he was spending a lot of money partying, too. They said he was spending a lot of money partying, too, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, and there was a lot of conflict, like you said, with even with his cabinet. So he really has no choice but to step down. I don't know. Him and Donald Trump got along pretty well, I think.
Two peas in a pod.
He
said he wants to stay there until they get a replacement. And I guess he's hoping they're going to forget. I don't know. But I think they're going to hurry up and get a replacement because they can't deal with him anymore. You know, they're a lot different over there than what they are here in the United States, you know.
So. True.
He might have told a bunch of lies, but he didn't have an insurrection.
Fortunate for him. But here's the one that got me this week. And then, again, you guys, we're talking about some hot topics that's going on this week. World leaders from the past and present express shock and sadness over the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, a man they describe as a towering global statement whose legacy is one of, quote, global impact. Somebody assassinated this man?
Yes, they did. Walked right up on him, and they're trying to figure out how somebody managed to get that close, and they don't even have guns like that. In Japan, somebody made a homemade weapon and shot him in the head and in the back.
Japan has pretty much the lowest murder rate than any other country in the world. In the world. How do you get to a dignitary like this? And what was it for? It says here, with this picture, Abe was shot while giving a campaign speech in the city of Nara Friday morning. He was rushed to the hospital, but pronounced dead later Friday. He was 67.
He was, I guess, backing a political person, you know, and it was just so strange how they showed the actual shooting, you know, where he was standing there and you hear something loud go off. And he slumps over a little bit, and then another shot, and then he falls down, you know. And it was unbelievable. You would think he was just ducking from something, but somebody actually shot him.
But you wonder, you know.
Yeah,
and
he
said
that he was the best prime minister, that Abe was the best prime minister, they said, that they had in Japan. Even when he quit early on and then he stayed out for a while and then he came back, when he came back in full force.
But here's the thing that crossed my mind is this. As you well know, dignitaries here, you know, they got Secret Service, a lot of them for life, not just the president, but there's certain individuals who will have dignitaries and will have security for many, many years to come, if not for life, right? You know, a Supreme Court justice, if he decides to leave the bench, he can't just get in his car and drive away from the office. You know, I mean, he's going to have security for, you know, years to come. You would think that would be the same thing. But this is Japan. And, again, my question is, where was his security? Or do they still keep security around their dignitaries like we do here?
He has security, they said.
So how did this person get so close to him? But what I'm saying is this too. How did they get so close and able
to
get off two
shots? Well, you didn't even see the person that was that close to him. You just heard the shot, and it was from behind in the back of him. You know, because like I said, he slumped over like somebody hit him in the back, and then it shot again, and he killed over, forward. Yeah. But I looked at the video. I didn't see the shooter. So he was close enough to kill him, but it wasn't like he wasn't right up on him, you know. Yeah. You know, you can, I guess, because they don't have the weapons like they have here in the United States, that would be the last thing that you would think would happen.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think I've read an article of where you can have a weapon in Japan, but I think there's certain rules that we don't have here. I think one thing, you have to be trained, you have to be, there's a lot of red tape over there in order to have a firearm. Okay. I'm going to try to look it up now. But again, as I said, that their murder rate is really the lowest, is one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in the world. And it's just shocking that someone was able to take out a dignitary like this so easily, especially, as we keep repeating, with the type of society they are when it comes to murder and or violent crimes. You know, some countries, you know, if you get caught stealing, they'll chop off your finger or your arm or whatever. They got some real strict things, you know, if you commit certain crimes.
Right.
I'm sure Japan has some real strict rules.
Right. When I went to Germany, this was in the 80s, but people, like 87, I think, 88, somewhere around there, but people were, doors unlocked, packages in the car, convertible cars all open. You think anybody stole anything? Heck no. That was the least thing that you would think. You know, when I say people, I saw cars with packages in it on the street, and nobody touched it.
Mm-hmm. People love their limbs. They love their limbs. I think I'm going to need this thumb and this finger for the rest of my life. You know, well, of course, it wouldn't be that way here in the United States. But, yeah, but they make a point. I'm sure you're taught early on as a kid, you do not take what is not yours. But, yeah. Some countries have some really, really strict rules about crimes. I'm trying to pull up Japan's murder rate, if I can. Japan, okay, murder rate. Okay, so... Japan murders per year. Well, let's see. Let's just go with 2021. Japan murder, number of murder cases recorded by the police in 2021. this information, this was posted in April 19th of this year. Okay, so let's look at the years.
2022.
Number of murder cases. Okay, well, here I'm gonna start with this. It says number of murder cases recorded by the police in Japan from 2014 to 2021. In 2014, they had 1,054. Okay. All right. Here in the United States, we have that in less than a couple of weeks. I mean, not to laugh, but it's true. In 2015. 933, 2016, 895, 27, 920, 2018, 915, 2019, 950, 2020, 929, and in 2021, 874. Now, how many mass shootings have we had so far this year? What, over 200?
I think. No, they said over 1,300 people killed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
1,300 people killed. And we're only halfway through the year. So, but in a whole, in 2021, Japan only had 874 people.
But you said murders. Did you say shootings?
No, number of murder cases. So what I'm just saying, well, would you look at the murder cases? Okay.
Well, I mean, murder cases could be a little bit of everything, but when you say shooting, because their gun laws are a lot more stricter and
different, right?
You know.
Okay, so how many murders would you say the United States has a year compared to Japan? How much would you guess?
Probably.
Granted, the United States is larger than Japan. We have to take that into consideration. Larger population, right?
Yeah.
But we have to take that into consideration. Okay, so homicides in major American cities ticked up in 2021 with a 5% increase from 2022, a 44% increase over 2019. So cars are going up. But if you look at the one I just read in Japan, they stayed in the 800 to 900s pretty much per year. And this United States number, the study drew on crime data from 22 cities nationwide, which was Atlanta, Detroit, Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, Memphis, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia. That's interesting that L.A. wasn't in that listing.
And how much?
I'm sorry?
How many?
Well, it says the study drew on crime data from 22 cities nationwide, which are named off the cities, and found an additional 218 murders last year compared to 2021, compared to 2020. And while the overall increase in the homicide rate slowed, murder rates in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Austin skyrocketed, while Washington, D.C. was 16%, also recorded a notable increase. Different. I mean, interesting situation. I mean, interesting facts. Okay, so I'm just kind of baffled. Like I said, I'm just really baffled. I'm sure there's got to be more to this assassination. There's got to be more to it. I just can't believe someone got that close to that man. Okay. Repeat.
You know, he believed in peace, and, you know, they said that he was the first one that go visit Pearl Harbor when Obama went to Okinawa, you know, and they both, I guess, visited the places together, which I thought was a good gesture, you know.
Right. I thought that was great, too. Okay, I just got a text from our guest who's coming up, and he just let me know that he's going to be calling in shortly. And Cotton Campbell is here also. She says she's a little under the weather, so she'll be I'm pretty sure she's going to join us. She's going to join us when Amar comes on, and we'll be able to hear from her then. Let me just drop this one last thing in here real quick regarding the shooter. There is a question if the parents will the parents face any legal trouble.
That's going to be shooting.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because in 2019, the 21-year-old man now charged in the Highland Park Parade massacre was too young to apply independently for a gun license in LA. His father sponsored the application just months after an unidentified family member called police to report that the son had a collection of knives and had threatened to kill everyone. So, you know, we got to keep an eye on this. What's going to happen? Here's another situation where a parent is involved and just makes poor decisions of letting a child become an adult or put a child in an adult situation. So with that said, we're going to have our guests join us a little early, which is a good thing. I'm glad of that. And if you guys just give me a moment, Let me make sure I got everything set up here, and it looks like I do. So
play some of his songs.
Well, that is the plan. that is the plan. Trust me, that is the plan. And you know what I want to play? I want to play this single because most of you know that AMR was a member of Tony, and if you haven't seen the documentary called Loyalty, No Royalty, it's an awesome documentary. Tells you a lot about that time and what was going on with the band, and just watch it. It's available. You can see it right after this show. Go ahead and pull it up and check it out on YouTube. Interesting information. And then here comes 3TOB, the original band. So what we're going to do, we're going to listen to a set from 3TOB, and when we come back, we're going to welcome our guest to the show, Mr. Amar Khalil. You're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. We'll be right back. TOB with Trading Places. And without further ado, you guys, Welcome back to the show. This gentleman, we love him when he comes to visit us, and we're glad to have him back again. Please put your hands together for Mr. Amar Khalil.
Yeah.
Amar, you there?
I'm good.
All right. Happy Saturday, my brother, and welcome back.
Oh, well, man, thank you, man. I sure appreciate it. Man, glad to be back. How y'all doing?
Great.
I'm doing fine, ladies, gentlemen.
Fantastic.
All right. Great. I see Cotton here on the board. She hasn't hit her number one yet to open up for my sister. She's a little under the weather, but I guess she'll be chiming in soon. Yeah, man, I mean, again, thank you for joining us again, and as always, love the music, which we're going to get into more of your music as the show goes on and further with this conversation with you. First thing I want to ask you, how do you feel now that the pandemic is like opened up the doors to get back out there and performing? Because that shut down a lot of entertainment. How does it feel now to be able to get back out there and perform?
Well, honestly, man, I don't know yet because we haven't really been out there yet. We haven't
really
been out there as far as 3TOB is concerned. We're really just trying to focus in on trying to get the album project done and get the new music out there. And then we're actually trying to put the show together now and try to figure out what we're going to do, what songs, and how we're going to parlay everything. So, you know, I think once we do all that, then I can tell you for sure, you know. But right now, we're just going through the motions and the process of trying to get everything together. So it's coming, though.
Okay.
It's coming.
Okay. I know you guys are going to hit the Southeast, of course. You got to come this way. And I see where, Elijah dropped that funky album of his. So I know you guys, everybody's got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I'm walking through this Hard Rock casino, getting ready to go outside. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a little bit more quiet on my end. We were finishing up some food here. We left my daughter's track meet, and we stopped by here, and I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, what time is it? And I looked, and I was like, oh, it's only 3:30, because I was thinking it was later. I was thinking it was much later. So I said, well, you know what, while it's on my mind, let me call in, because by the time I, you know, finish eating and doing other stuff, man, I would have probably lightweight forgotten. You know, so I didn't want to do that.
It's no problem. No, it's no problem at all to call in a little earlier. That is fine with us. We'd rather you call in early than not call in at all.
you know,
you have things. And right, so we truly appreciate it. And by the way, how did the track meet go? Because I was told that she was going to be in a track meet this weekend. Did it go well?
Oh yeah, she did. She did her thing, you know.
Right on.
You know, she always does, man. They got the Junior Olympics coming up, at the end of this month. And so, you know, she qualified for the JO. So, you know, man, we're excited, you know, that she's doing her thing. So, it's a little quieter now, but yeah, man, we're actually getting ready to put the whole show together. Get back out here. We got some promoters and stuff calling already, trying to figure out if we could do this or that. And man, I can't wait. I miss the stage. I haven't been on stage and I just sung for somebody for doing this little party thing, but that wasn't like really being on stage. But I haven't been on stage honestly since 19. Yeah, 2019. So it's time to get back.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Because, I mean, you know, like I said, the pandemic really, with some other guests that we've had, you know, that they're back out and they're saying that they're glad to be back on. And it, and as they put it, it's just a great feeling to connect with their crowd. So I'm pretty sure that you guys are looking forward to doing the same thing, but you want to make sure everything is intact and ready for it. I can imagine that this will be an awesome performance that you guys will be putting together. And again, thank you for what you share with folks. Is, you know, that wonderful family of yours. I love when you guys share stuff when you guys are out riding bikes and hiking and everything. For you folks that are listening, if you want to see a cool family, this is the cool, one of the coolest families I know is Amar's family. I mean, they get out and they spend family time together, you know. They go out to see the animal parks and get involved and everything. Seriously, really, oh, yeah. I mean, you would love to watch these videos because they're just really having a good time. So truly appreciate you sharing that with everybody, and that's just a blessing, man. I see Cotton is still sitting back, and I know she has some questions for you, but I'm going to let Janet ask you a couple of questions first. Janet, the mic is yours.
Yes. Sorry, my little dog was barking because somebody came in again. But I just noticed that when I was looking at your bio, that it showed that you had a role in a movie one night in Miami.
In Miami.
So can you tell me what was the role you played in that? And are you going to be doing any other acting in the future?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Definitely going to be doing some other acting. I wrote a couple of during this pandemic thing, and actually, even before then, I had already had a bunch of ideas, and so I had this one film thing that I was wanting to shoot and wanted to start trying to put it together and start shooting some stuff before the summer is over. At first, I was trying to put myself, you know, I wrote it and all that, and I was trying to put myself as the main character, but then I decided, I was like, nah, I'm about to let my son do it. And he's into music. He got a new single out right now, and he goes by Little Tony. His name is Jelani Amar. But he always went by Little Tony because of Tony. But he has a new single out called, Touchdown. And he's gotten over just in a week, got over 16,000 views and all that kind of stuff like that. Oh, 17, my bad. So I'm being corrected. Right? Yeah.
I gather that. You all by a granddad, you know.
She got him character and all that kind of stuff like that. So, you know, kind of.
Wow.
That's interesting.
So what role
and yeah,
did
I did
play
see
that. Because I got to look it up. I mean, I was going to try and find it and look at it tonight.
Yeah. So, I play one of the band members. That's on stage with Leslie Odom Jr., who's playing Sam Cooke. When the thing with the microphone and all that kind of stuff go out, because it was sabotaged by Jackie Wilson character, you know, we're all sitting there and we're like confused, like, uh-oh, something right. And so he turns around, and it's not a real big thing, but, you know, it's there. But
hello,
man. Yeah, can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can
now.
You hear me?
Yeah, it kind of
cool. Yeah. We're in a bad area, probably. So hopefully it doesn't keep going in and out. But, you know, he actually turns around and talks to the band, but he's actually talking to me. And me and him are having a quick dialogue. And So that was my thing with Regina King that I started her directorial debut.
Wow.
Man, that's got to be awesome, though. I mean, here you're in a movie with her. I mean, you know, pretty much all of us watched her grow up, you know, in her acting days from, what, 227 and then Boys in the Hood and now, you know, doing this movie and having part of it. So that's something that's going to be interesting for you to, you know, to look back at for years to come. But when you're saying about having your son play the role, you know, that will be so awesome.
Yeah, you know, the trip part of we were just watching a movie the other night with Ashley Olden. What was the name of it? Remember? Even trip on it until you just said it just now that it must have been a trip to work with her and this and that for her film and being who she was. But just thinking about the other actors that was in One Night in Miami to be involved in a film where that I was in a film with all of them, and as the credits roll up, you see my name just as big as Dave's, same as you see theirs. And so,
right.
I didn't even trip off that. So just now, like, wow, like, okay. I don't never really trip off that. I just do.
But it's there. The thing is, it'll forever be there. That's the blessing. And then here's the thing that crossed my mind of when we were talking about Regina King, as I mentioned, she played in Boys in the Hood, which the late great director Singleton, John Singleton. Though he wrote and directed everything, he did play one role in the movie, and a lot of people don't remember what role he played. And he played the postman that delivered the letter that he was accepted into, where he got the test scores. John Singleton played that one part. When you do your feature, are you looking at maybe just doing a little cameo spot in there yourself?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm putting the whole family going to be in the movie.
Oh, great.
So, the whole family is going to be in it. So how would I categorize it? It's romantic, comedy, maybe something like that. But it's got a little twist to it. And it's good. You guys know Derek Muhammad, who's with Karen White, who works with Karen White. And so he and I had went back and forth about this, and when I told him about it, gave him a quick synopsis of everything, and he was like, oh, my God, dude, I love it. Oh, I need to be involved. But it's funny, though, he's getting ready. He's in the process of shooting a new film right now that he got funded and everything like that. And so he just asked me to play this part in his film, and they're actually shooting in Atlanta. And that's coming up soon. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Karen and Derek joined us 2 weeks ago, in fact. Karen received the Soul Icon Award from the Black Music Honor, and so they joined us 2 weeks ago, and he told us about it. In fact, he has a project called Lucky that is being filmed, and that's a deep brother. And I like the fact of what he's saying, that the whole family's going to be involved, and to see where you're getting into this aspect of not just the music but the movie, you know, aspect of it, because with your talent and with all the talent I'm sure that you have around you, you don't have to go and deal with the Hollywood elite. There's so much talent just within your own nucleus, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That I find interesting. When Cam did her first movie, Gale in the Storm, I was really impressed with how she used a few professional actors. But these were folks I hadn't really heard of. But it was a good movie, and everybody played their role to the T. So, you know,
right.
You learn new entertainment. So really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. I have the mic of Cotton K.C. Kimball has joined us. Hello, Cotton K.C. Kimball.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mark. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Thank you.
So cool. I talked to him the other day, and I said, do you remember how I met you first time I met you? He said, yeah. I told him, I said, I was waiting to tell this story for when he finally came on. So... me being nosy, I really was being nosy. He was being interviewed by one of the radio shows here in California. And I walked up and I was like, what you doing out here? What they got going on? And, well, they're about to interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and my friend was trying to be flirty. And he's trying to stay in professional mode because he's not his business. And I'm in his business.
It was so polite
and so professional, but it was just so cool that he didn't turn into one of those, I'm a celebrity, what you talking about? He didn't turn into that guy. He was just really cool. That's my story.
Wow. Last week we had Mr. Reggie Calloway on from Midnight Star. He was on last week, and you know, I asked my guests some of the same questions, and because I get different answers, which I like. But when it comes to your writing, you know, what is it that I'm not trying to get into your secret, but what inspires you? I mean, is it something that you hear, something that you see? Is it the lyrics come first to you or the melody, and then you write around the lyrics? Or can you give us an idea of what songs might have worked with one before the other? You understand the question I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. There is no formula for me. The song that we are getting ready to shoot a video to and release that's on the new project, I had that song almost a year. And I came up with the melody after, you know, we had the music. I came up with the melody, and I kept singing these first few lines, and I couldn't get past it. But I just kept singing that. I was like, well, whatever it's going to be, that's going to be the first verse because I got that down pat, you know.
Right.
And so just kept trying to fool around with it, came up with some different little ideas for the second part of the verse and the second verse and all that kind of stuff like that. But it just didn't gel all the way. So I got with my cousin, Justin Goff, great writer, you know, artist. And one of his houses, I was like, man, I need to come lay this. I need to come lay these vocals down, and then, you know, let's see what we can come up with. So once we got in there and started vibing and stuff like that, man, he just started throwing little ideas and stuff like that, and then I started bouncing off that, and he was like, okay, no, I like that. What did you say? So then we just started, it just started flowing. So there's really no major inspiration sometimes. Sometimes it's just it's just the moment or the vibe or the feeling that you get, and then sometimes when I'm writing, I can't think about a situation or whatever, and I won't write exactly to that situation, but I'll write around the situation, you know.
Right.
But it's just different. It's just different things. Sometimes the melody and the lyrics and just me singing out loud will come to me, and then other times the music will be there, and then the melody and the lyrics will come afterwards. So it's no direct formula. It's just whatever you're feeling at the moment.
That's the words of a true songwriter. Because Reg, you said pretty much the same thing. There's really no formula, right? It's just what's there. And I like the fact you said that you had the song for over a year, but it took that long to really develop it the way it's turning out to be. It wasn't rushed, right? So that's fantastic.
Not rushed at all.
That's fantastic.
And the trip part about it, fellas are like, you know, after we got it mixed and mastered and all that, they hit me up. Like Carl Wheeler hit me up. He's the organ and keyboard player. He was also the music director for Frankie Beverly and Maze for 20 years. After he left the Tony, like, hey, dude, man, you killed it. He's like, man, I just had to call and give you some kudos because you really put it where it was supposed to be. So, you know, you never know. You never know. It feels good to you, but you never know until, you know, somebody else who you respect musically or somebody else tells you, man, it's really good, you know. So you only do what feels good to you.
That's awesome. And if you don't mind, I did mention that there's the documentary, Loyalty, No Royalty. I did tell everybody, make sure that they check it out. It is an interesting story about Tony. I don't want to go into the whole thing. We've discussed it before, but I'd rather them watch it and get a gist of what was happening back then and see what has happened now, which is why we enjoyed you and Elijah coming on the show. 3TOB, can you share with everybody, who is 3TOB? Who are the members of this unit?
3TOB consists of John Jubu Smith, who actually, he was a part of 2020 for years as well, guitar player. After he left Tony, he started playing for Frankie Beverly and Maze as well, and a host of other talented artists and things like that. But he was Frankie's main guitar player. So there's John Joe Smith, and then there's Elijah E.B. Baker, bass player. He's the bass player for Tony from the very beginning. Then you have Carl Wheeler, organist. Everybody called him Rev. He was original Tony member from the very beginning. And then you have Entron Ice Cream Hell, keyboardist, original Tony member from the very beginning. And then, of course, myself. So it's five of that comprise 3TOB. And 3TOB is just short for the 3T's, Tony, original band.
Right, okay. I get it now. Because I was like, 3TOB, there's more than three guys. But there you guys have it. Okay, the 3T's. Tony.
Yeah.
And again, I will say for you folks who are listening, and when you go to share this show and tell folks, hey, look, we talked to Amar Khalil, original member of Tony. No, it's not Tone, okay? It's not Tone. Tony. All right. There's been a lot of folks who say Tone to this day. I don't know why they don't get it.
Well, because it's actually spelled like Tone.
Right.
But, you know,
But the E is long. It's a long E, right?
It's a long E. But again, you know us. We know that Sade is safe. Period. Period.
Ain't no R in Sade.
Yeah, so it's not Sade. It's it's Sadie. But then I was talking to somebody who was from London or somewhere, and they were like, Sade. You know, it's like the way they pronounce it with their dialect and their accent and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they kind of get Sade instead of being Sadie. It's Sade,
right.
You know. So it's almost like folks in Japan can't say they can't pronounce L's, so they say Risa. It's with an R. So their name might be Lisa, but they say Risa.
With an R.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
That's interesting. You learned something new. You learned something new. I had no clue. That's interesting. Well, look, we definitely want to go ahead and play some more of your music and come back. And I mean, I don't want to hold up your whole afternoon. I know you've had a great afternoon with your family, but let's hear some more of your music and come back. And for you folks that are online or on the phone. Okay, cool, great. So you folks that are online, I don't know what has happened with Blog Talk with the chat room. I'm trying to open up the chat room. If you're listening to the show and you're listening through Blog Talk Radio, I apologize if you're not able to contact me through the chat room, but you can do this. You can call into the number here on the show, which is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Press the number 1 so I can see that you're waving your hand or your question or comment, okay? So please do that for me. All right, so here we go. We're going to listen to some more music. Our guest today is Amar Khalil, and this is By My Side. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you that I love you.
I love you.
You mean everything to me. Through all this time.
Through the years and the love we
back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Our guest today is Mr. Amar Khalil, former member of Tony, but now is the member of 3TOB, the three Tonys is what the three stands for, which we just were told, and got a little education on that one there. That was By My Side. Love that track. Love it. Amar. Man, that video is so cool, too. That video for you guys. If you haven't seen it, pull it up, watch it. Great video. I promise you will play it more than twice. Most definitely. More than twice. You fellas need to go ahead and play that, too, for your lady. Trust me. It'll work. Okay, so yeah. I got to ask you a question here, and then I'm going to let folks that are waving their hands and folks that are on the board. And for any of you who have any questions that are here in on the board, go ahead and hit the number one so I can open up your mic. Amar, I want to ask you, when you're not writing your own material, when you're not, you know, doing certain projects of your own, who do you listen to that you really admire?
Man, so
I know that's probably many.
I was in the car. Say that again.
I'm sure there's many, but no. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, no. On my playlist right now in my car, cause I got a Lexus GS350, an older model, and it has a 6-disc. Changer in it, which I absolutely love because I can still play CD.
There you go.
So I have Level 42 in my CD player in the changer. I have Kenny Loggins in there. I got Bobby Womack in there. I got Babyface in there. And I got the Jackson Triumph album in there. And the sixth one is my inspirational gospel CD, Where There's a Way.
Wow. What a collection. Now, I'm going to be honest. When you said Kenny Loggins, I was like, all right, man. Because I love Kenny Loggins. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, that's my dude.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go see him on the 28th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you can go back to Loggins and Messina, you know, back when this was a dude.
Yeah.
Back to those early days, and then when he went solo, you know, that cat to this day is still doing the thing. Wow, that's
amazing. He got this one song. He got this one song. Now that's Love. He goes, how many lifetimes have I loved you? How many times have we ever met? The look in your eyes is so familiar. Where and when I forget. Man, the way he puts stuff together, he goes, remember the name and introduction. Darling, my heart fills the room. Hey, man, that dude is, Kenny is the man. I love Kenny Loggins, man, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, so Kenny is why. So that's why I still listen to the old school Jackson, Kenny Loggins.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The earlier Babyface stuff. That's what I get down with.
You know, I had a conversation with a person who sent me an artist, some music from an artist, and asked me to give my personal opinion. And I'm not the type of person to be, you know, brutally honest. I just try to be, you know, how I feel about certain things. And granted, I said that, you know, I feel like some of the lines were kind of predictable, you know what I mean? Like, you said this verse, and I just knew you were going to use this word next. You follow what I mean? It was just like I just knew it, and it's my first time hearing the song. But then they turned around and said, well, think about Consumption when they did Love Strange. Can't you say that that song is kind of predictable with the lyrics? And when I thought about it, I said, in a way not. But for me, I think that some artists are very creative writing-wise of where, you know, they can use certain words that, I don't know, it tells the story, but it's not predictable. You understand my point? What is your thoughts about when it comes to writing? You know, because a lot of folks say, well, the simplicity of it is what's important of the lyrical content. But I like songs where the lyrical content kind of makes you think. It's not explicit like you hear now. You know what I mean? It's a play on words at times. You follow what I mean? It's not like the music that you hear where they just flat out say certain words, but they make it, you know, where you got to kind of like think of the story.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I tell my son. I told him, I said, dude, when you first started doing a lot of your writing, because he raps and he sings, and that whole thing there, his metaphors were so crazy. You
there
know,
you go.
And I was just like, I'm like, really? I'm like, ooh, right. And then now he just kind of lightweight fell into what everybody else is doing, where they're just blatant with whatever. It's almost like long time ago, I can't remember what group it was, but you know, they were rapping and somebody mentioned fellatio, and I was like, what is that? What's that? I mean, we were younger. We had to run and go get a dictionary and all that kind of stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay, oh, wow. So it made you kind of think. And we used to always have to get the dictionary when you know, you was listening to old groups like Grand Puba and you know, Readers of the New School and Tribe Called Quest and all them and stuff like that. Have to keep your dictionary in. And but now it's so blatant. So lyrically, I love it when I'm able to listen to, you know, cause I listen to old school Doobie Brothers, you know, Air Supply. I'm kind of one of those dudes that love, like, I don't know if people are up on this radio station series, satellite radio. Called Yacht Rock Radio, and they play, they play all the stuff from Christopher Cross to Kenny Loggins to Doobie Brothers, all that kind of stuff. And if you love that style of classic song rock, but it's soulful though. Although it's you know, I mean, it's on the Average White Band, all that kind of stuff. What I like about them is their lyrical content and how they tell stories.
Right.
Almost like Michael Frank. I don't know how people are into. So I'm into Michael Frank a lot. And so,
oh man, what you talking about?
so that's the stuff.
That's the master.
Yeah. You know, when Slide comes, you know. And he got a song called Eggplant. Like, really? Are you? But if you listen to what he's talking about that eggplant, you're like, oh, okay. So, I think things not being as predictable is really cool. And then I think sometimes, you know, when people talk about simplicity. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it just absolutely works. You don't have to try to be too deep. You ain't got to try to think way out the box. Sometimes it's being simple. Simple and plain is the way it is. But being simple and plain doesn't mean that you have to be, you have to have explicit lyrics or you have to try to go straight to the point. You know, you still can be simplistic, it still leaves room for a person's imagination.
Correct. Right. And I love that you brought up, I mean, those artists, the Doobie Brothers, Michael French, man, I got all them cats, man. I grew up listening to that. I had a brother, all he listened to was rock and roll, right? That's all he listened to. So being the younger brother, I had no choice but to listen to that. But I had an understanding of those type of artists. And like you said, their writing, their mindset when they're writing. I mean, when you listen to What a Fool Believes, you know, there's some lines in there, you know, where Michael McDonald says, "He came from somewhere back in the long ago." You know, and then the line like, "He's trying hard to recreate what has yet to be created." I'm like, what the hell did that say? You know,
right,
that's
right,
one of those lines.
Right.
You know, and it became a hit, and people know that song word for word. You know, so just that
man.
Creative writing is just so interesting. It's like poetry, you know.
Yeah, oh, man,
so,
it is. I mean, you listen to Ambrosia, the, you know, the stuff that they wrote. I mean, it's just, so I like lyrics. I like, you know, and I think for me, my writing is like that a lot, but I end up trying to change it up. Fit us because you know you're trying to please us, but then again, we're not the ones who really support us. So you should almost just write whatever you feel and let the masters and let it fall in the hands of the masters and let it do what it's going to do. Because one thing about us, we are superficial when it comes to who we're supporting. If you're hot, if you're not hot, if you're not rocking the latest Gucci or whatever, and all that kind of stuff like that. I love dressing. I mean, I don't think there's too many men out there that you know, especially in the kitchen, out dressing. But I really don't care about that, man. I put on these Converse, put on these cool jeans and a cool T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to hit the stage just like that. But
right.
But I know I gotta give more, you know. So
okay. Hey, look, I want everybody to get a chance to chime in, but I want to play two more tracks, if you don't mind. And this one here I want to play because this song, I loved the moment when I heard it from the original artist. And then I know another artist who did this, and you did it also. So this must be one of those classics that everybody respects, this songwriter. And unfortunately, we lost him. And I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. So let's go ahead and take a listen to this, and we'll come back and talk about this artist and what you love so much about this song that you wanted to do it. And the person that is joining you on this song, which happened to have been a guest on our show. So we'll be right back. Here's Amar Khalil with Who Do You Love?
Great.
back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, with our special guest today, Mr. Amon Khalil. And that's Who Do You Love? The original version of that song was recorded by a gentleman named Bernard Wright. And Bernard was born November 16th, 1963 in Jamaica, New York. Unfortunately, we lost him just this past May 19th, where he lived in Dallas, Texas. Amar, what was it about that song you wanted to record that? Because it is an awesome track. What was it about?
I mean, the song was so infectious, man. I always, always loved that song. Matter of fact, I still have the 12-inch vinyl. I still have that.
Wow.
From years ago, I literally have the album at the house. Well, I got the album and the 12-inch. And I always said years ago, I was like, man, he wrote that song for me. You know, I was like, man, he wrote that song for me. That's my song. And I just loved it, man. I just loved everything about it. Melody, the composition of music, arrangement. And it's a real simple song. It's a real simple song, but it's just a beautiful song. Even to just listen to kids today, it just takes me back. You know, when I first came out, growing up, and the constant reminder just how beautiful times were then. Now, the song just doesn't feel dated at all. It just feels relevant. And so,
right.
I just appreciate that young brother creating a masterpiece.
And also,
that's what he did, man.
Right. But
yeah.
Also, I saw where you have joining you featuring Sine. And she's been with us before. What an awesome talent she is for you to have her also appearing on this track with me. That's your cousin.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did I know that? Maybe I forgot, but okay. Sine Goss, what an awesome talent. She is amazing. When she told her story about... Go ahead,
I'm sorry. No.
You about to say she really should do what?
She really should be so much further than what she is. Not saying she's not in a good place, but she's just talented. She's just talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
she's right.
You know, the world will. They'll definitely get
their
chance. She's
going to block. Well, you know what amazed me was when we spoke with her, and I saw a video of her. Well, I saw a clip where she was with this jazz group, and she did some vocal music. It was just so powerful. And she did some scatting and stuff in it. But what amazed me is where I saw a video of her where she was whistling How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees, right? And I'm like, man, she sounds like a flute. It really sounds like a real flute, you know, how pure her whistle is. And she shared that story and said how her father told her, got her a Coca-Cola bottle and told her the blow over the top of it, and when you can make sound from this bottle, then you're prepared to know how to whistle at home. And I thought that really interesting. And she said that's how she learned how to whistle that way. But yeah, she is an awesome talent. And yeah, she should be way further along. And someone needs to really, she needs to be out there. I don't know how or what, but
She's got a package, man. She's unbelievable. I'm sure she will. I have confidence in her.
She definitely will.
Really.
You know, I got some family members, man, that are just so. I got some family members. Awesome. My little cousin out of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome, Tiana. I want to go ahead and let some of the other. Right. Well, we're waiting to hear them, and definitely they're more than welcome to come here and share when the new material comes out. We will definitely drop it first right here. There's no doubt. I want to see if let's see, Cotton, do you have a question or comment for Janet Davis? And I apologize.
Well, yes.
And I apologize to anybody who's trying to get through on the chat line. I apologize for some reason. Blog Talk is having an issue with the chat line, so please forgive us on that. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah. I looked at your bio and everything, and I see that it said that you are also a fitness trainer. You know, you're certainly a person that wears many hats. Can you? Is it something that you do all the time, being a trainer, or is it just you know, I mean, do you do it at a place? Is it a full-time? I know you're singing and acting and doing all these other things, but I wanted to know a little bit about the fitness training because you look like you're really in shape. So I can imagine training.
well, you know, it really started off with me just really trying to just be in shape and just being prepared to be on stage as much as I needed to be on stage, just wanted to be in top shape, you know. And then it kind of grew from there with people asking me to for tips and all that kind of stuff like that, and so that's how I started getting into. And then people would always be like, hey, man, I need to work out with you, man. I need to work out. But then once they would work out with me, they wouldn't work out with me no more because they thought my warm-up was our workout for the day. And I'm like, no, we're not done. We just warmed up. And so I had a lot of people to fall off. But it really came from not so much me being really a fitness trainer. I had created a show style, and so I shot a couple pilot episodes with the executive producer of the Jamie Foxx Show and Martin Lawrence Show, Bentley Evans, and I did a show on him. I did a show on Cindy from En Vogue, and an actual fitness trainer to the star out in L.A. We actually did one. And so I was really pushing the fitness and style television show, trying to get it picked up and that whole thing there. So I'm kind of back into that mold a little bit there on that. But that's where it really came from. It's not so much that I was just out here training everybody, but I train folks who wanted to work out. You know, if you wanted to work out and try to get in shape, then you come get in shape. And that's what it really was.
You know, I like that question, Janet, because, yeah, I like that question that Janet asked. Okay, go ahead. You want to chime in?
Yeah, I was just gonna say I saw that too, Janet. But I got a fracture back, and I've seen his, you know, I've seen him ride bikes, and I've seen stuff. So it's like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna watch over here.
Yeah, that's what most folks say. I'm just gonna watch. That's cool. I'm cool.
But I like that Janet asked that question about the fitness training because. I'm sure you know who Marvin McIntyre is here in Atlanta. He has his artist development here, what they call the boot camp. Karen White, Mary J., New Edition, all kinds of acts have gone through there to get prepared for the stage, right? Rehearse their shows. And then other artists that he has, I've seen where he has some, you know, run in place. He'll have them go out in front of his establishment and run down the hill and back up and, you know. But it is, I'm pretty sure it is important to be in shape in order to be on stage, you know, night after night or every other night and be able to do a show, you know, to be in shape. But outside of that, what is the health as far as a diet that you use either on a daily basis or just during that time where you're getting ready to perform? What kind of diet do you stick to keep yourself healthy in that way, if you don't mind?
Well, for years I hadn't eaten meat, and I haven't eaten pork though forever. But I stopped eating meat and all that kind of stuff. And then when COVID hit and everybody was sitting at home, and we wasn't getting out as much, and the missus was cooking some stuff. She said, well, I didn't get to cook, you know, no fish or this and that. And I was like, I don't worry about it, because whatever you fix, I'm going to eat, you know. I put on some COVID weight. You know, I do my CMOS, and, you know, we do our pressed juice. You know, we juice stuff at the house. You know, my thing is, I love key lime pie. I love lemon bar. you know, my cousin just called me the other day, but I didn't get a chance to eat it because we had left to go on our family vacation. But she said, I made you a sweet potato pie. And she said, I'm going to take it over Cousin Norm's house, and you can pick it up from over there. Well, I
good luck. Go ahead.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, so she made the sweet potato pies, but I told him, you might as well enjoy those pies because, first of all, I don't need that whole pie, and I'm going out of town. But so my thing is me just cutting down on the sweets, but I try my best. And then, as she says, lay off them Hawaiian barbecue potato chips when I'm laying in bed watching a movie. But other than that, I try my best to normally on a day-to-day when I'm driving in the car, doing everything I need to do, I got almonds and sunflower seeds and stuff like that I'm snacking on. I normally snack on almonds, pistachios, walnuts and stuff like that. And then I'll stop and give me a fresh juice, which basically consists of beets, carrots, pineapple, celery and stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that I drink on it. And stuff like that. I don't really do. If I do soda, I might have a ginger ale or a 7-Up every now and then to kind of settle my stomach or something if I've eaten something that was kind of maybe a little greasy or something like that. I do eat pizza, but then I work out hard enough to where I don't try to let it sit on me, you know, too much.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's usually pizza with veggies, like a veggie style, right?
Say that again. Pizza is what?
I'm pretty sure it's a veggie style pizza. Yeah. Pepperoni type.
The only thing that's on my pizza is bell pepper, pineapple, olives, and mushroom.
Uh oh! You got some people upset now. You don't upset some folks when you said pineapple.
People?
And people don't like pineapple. I like pineapple on a pizza. I like pineapple on a pizza. To me, it's that that sweet and spicy combination.
Right. Well, listen.
Y'all hear that pizza? Now y'all know his workout regimen.
The first time I had pineapple on my pizza. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the first time I had some pineapple on my pizza was probably when I was about 10 years old. 10 or 11 years old. I was in Los Angeles. And my aunt, well, I gotta see what they have. My aunt, she was like, okay, we're getting some pizza. And I was like, okay. She was like, what you want on your pizza? I was like, I don't know, whatever. She said, I got it. Don't worry about it. And she ordered, and this was, like I said, this was years ago when I ate pork and stuff like that. I haven't eaten pork in over 25, 30 years now. But she ordered a pepperoni pizza with pineapple. And, man, when I tasted that pizza, I lost my mind. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, are you kidding me with this pineapple on this pizza? Have you lost? I was like, oh. I was like, this is ridiculous. And I ain't never looked back. Pineapple's been on my pizza every time I order one. You know.
I can dig it, my brother. Yeah. I can dig it. I'm the same way. But the first time I had one, it was I'm trying to think who. I don't know if it was I don't recall if it was Domino's or Pizza Hut, but the first time I had it, just like you, I was in heaven. I could not believe that combination of that sweet and, as I said, spicy, you know, sour type taste. So for all you folks who do not like pineapple on pizza, what gets me are the folks that who've never tried it. They just don't like the idea, the sound of it. That's the thing, you know. So, all right. That was interesting. So, see, now I'm thinking about getting a pizza with pineapple on it now. So, hey, look, we're going to let you run because it's almost at the top of the hour, and we truly appreciate you spending a little over an hour with us, coming back to the show. It's been, look, a little over a year and a half since you were here before. Please don't make it the last time. We definitely enjoy it. But before I let you go, I definitely want to play one more track, and then we're going to go around the board and get some comments from all of the co-hosts. Again, I apologize to you folks who are listening online and can't get through on the chat room. I will be in conversation with Blog Talk come Monday morning. And don't forget, the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, is now available on all social media platforms. That would be, of course, Spotify, Google, Alexa, and iHeartRadio. We'll be right back. Here's 3TOB with Never Gonna Give You Up.
I wanna spend it all.
Welcome back to BMGS. That is 3TOB with Never Gonna Give You Up. Another fantastic song. Man, I played that the other day for a friend of mine. They were like, who's that? I'm like, you never heard it? No, who is it? So, and I say that because this was released in, from what I see, is 2020. And even though the songs may be a year or two old, it's still new to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you think about these artists, I mean, like, who was it? Evelyn Champagne King. She recorded Shame, and it took a year before it came out. But do you understand what I'm saying is that where the exposure of these songs is still, you know, continually to be shared, you know, to listeners, and they're starting to grasp a hold of this 3TOB song.
Right. I think, you know, it's like we were putting music out during the, you know, as we all know, during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just trying to touch people right after we did the documentary. We had the first single, Trading Places, that was part of the documentary. And then we did the Christmas song. We did a remake of Christmas. So we did that, put that out. So we were just trying to get people familiar with 3TOB. And then we came with Never Gonna Give You Up. And then we did the remake of Golden Time of Day featuring Dave Hollister and Jugal. And and so for us, although it's been a couple of years, you know, for a couple of songs, it's really still new. Only because the masses haven't heard it yet, and we were just trying to just get music done. You know, and we figured, you know, we're in this digital age right now, so it's really not going to matter a whole lot if it's out a year ago or even 2 years ago, because once we finish the whole project and everything, people are going to end up hearing everything all over again for like the first time. So it wasn't really no big deal, man. And music is timeless, man. You got to put together timeless pieces. You're kind of able to just marinate on it. And since the masses haven't heard it, it's just going to be like it just came out yesterday. So we're not really concerned with that too much. We're just trying to enjoy it. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're definitely right, you know, and I guess what I was saying is that, you know, to me, I've heard it and it sounds good all the time, but it's just amazing when folks hear it and they're like, what? Who is that? You know, that's it. And I'm like, wow, obviously they're in for a big surprise when everything is released at the same, you know, all at once. I want to go around the board and give everybody a chance as we let our guests go for the evening and enjoy the rest of his evening with his wonderful family. Let me go to the lady of the house first, Janet Charlotte Hawkins Davis. What's your final word?
Yes, Amar, I want to just thank you for coming on our show again, and I really enjoy listening to your music, and if you guys ever decide to start touring and you come this way, let us know so we can come see you. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, most definitely. And I appreciate you guys having me, you know, allowing me to be a part of family here. You know, yeah, it's beautiful. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks.
I'm going to let Cotton Campbell, you go ahead. You have any final words?
Yes, I just want to thank Amar for coming on. I want to say that I did watch the movie. I love the movie. It should get 5 stars. Everybody should be watching this movie. It's a very good movie. And as I told you before, I love how you love on your wife when you post the things that you post on social media. You need to be on Oprah's Black Love episode.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, you know. You know, it's, again, you know, like we had said, like we talked before, I mean, sometimes, you know, people always try to say, oh, well, I'm trying to keep my family life separate and all of this and all of that. But at the end of the day, they're not really separate. They're really an extension of who you are, you know? And so that's how I just watch the world, you know? And that's just what I believe, you know? I don't think I keep them like it, you know? That's just what it is. I'm just not trying to keep folks hidden. You know, that's my family, and that's who I rock with. You know, because at the end of the day, when everybody else, what I did notice after I left the Tonys and all that kind of stuff like that, everybody that was super hyped on Amar, they weren't too hyped after I left the group. You know, so the ones that got you back is the ones that got you back.
Exactly.
That's right.
You got a good point, brother. You got a great point. Well, look, we're going to let you go ahead and spend the rest of your evening with your family. It's a three-hour difference, so I know you guys got some sunlight still over there, so you got some bike riding you can still do. All right.
Oh, no,
so,
no, I'm going to go home. I'm about to go home and put this yogurt up that we just got from this little yogurt spot we just came up out of, let the dog use the bathroom, and then we're going to Home Depot real quick. To look at something at Home Depot, and then after that, I'm getting right back home, man, because there's some boxing coming on. I'm a boxing fanatic, so I'll be watching some boxing. You know,
all right,
so,
man.
That's okay.
Again, we thank you so much, man, and please don't be a stranger, and come back and visit us anytime, man. You're more than welcome. We love keeping up with what's going on with you and with 3TOB. And God bless you and the guys, and a continued success. Most definitely, we know it's coming your way. Hey, you guys, just don't forget to check out all the videos, all the songs by Amar Khalil and 3TOB. There's videos available on many platforms. And, of course, you can see a few of them on YouTube. And so check them out. You know, you're going to really enjoy them. Right? Right. Okay.
Thank
we're going to let Amar go
guys.
And enjoy the rest of his evening. So, Amar, thanks again. Let's hear one more time for Amar Khalil.
Thank you. One love. Y'all appreciate it. Y'all have a blessed evening. Peace.
All right. And you know what I'm going to do? Since he mentioned Golden Time of Day, let's go ahead and take a listen to that track by 3TOB. And this does feature Dave Hollister. Hey, this is a classic remake, so I want you all to check it out. And then when we come back, we're going to pack bags and get on out of here. Here's Golden Time of Day, 3TOB. TMGF, that is 3TOB with Golden Time of Day featuring Mr. Dave Hollister. Man, doesn't that sound great? And by the way, that on guitar, that was Juba Smith. Awesome guitars. Hey, look, we're going to get out of here, but before we go, I want to do this real quick since we have a few minutes left. Ladies, I want to see, well, no, you know what, I'm going to save it for next week. I'm going to hold on to it for next week. When everybody's here. Janet, what you think about the show?
I thought it... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I wasn't on mute. Well, I thought it was a very good show. Imar is a... He wears many hats. You know, I was just looking at not just being a singer, songwriter, and, you know, but to also be a musician and be a actor and and then a fitness trainer. I was like, what else is next? That's why I said he wears so many hats, you know? So it was good having him back on.
Yeah, I really do appreciate him coming back on. Thanks. Yeah, thanks to Cotton Campbell for putting that conversation together, that is booking this show. And by the way, you guys, don't forget, we have more shows coming up, tentatively scheduled for next month. Let's see, the one and only Mr. Carl Thomas is scheduled to come on our show, and a few other special guests, and I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy it. And don't forget that whenever you miss the show live, you can always go to Spotify, iHeart, Alexa, and many others to hear the rebroadcast of the TMGS. That's the Michael Gay Show. And also, let's talk about it with your host, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of TMGN. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's
and
time also
go
get
to
out of
TMGN.
Here.
Yeah, you didn't mention that, Michael. Well,
TMGN. You go to Blog Talk Radio or just Google the Michael Gay Network TMGN, and it should show you all the outlets that you can listen to all of our rebroadcasts. We just started rebroadcasting more of the latest shows. But if you go to Google, I think if you go to the Google one, Google has pretty much all of our past shows, okay? So keep that in mind. When you go to Spotify or iHeart, you might get some of the more recent shows. There's a handful of them. But if you go to Google and go to Google Podcasts, that should take you back to pretty much almost all of our past shows. Just to let you know, keep that in mind. All right. So without further ado, we're going to wish you guys a blessed remainder of your weekend. And we look forward to you joining us next Saturday. We're going to be taking a break soon. So more than likely, you're going to hear a rebroadcast from one of our other exciting shows. So stay tuned. Hey, on behalf of myself and all of the hosts and co-hosts here on the TMGN Network, God bless you. Be safe, and we'll see you again soon. And you know what, Janet? I'm going to play one of the original theme songs for the Michael Bell Show, okay? I'm going to go out with that, all right? We're going to go out with
okay.
Actually, there's been three, okay? So there was one, okay, by, who was it? It was Mr. Reed, young man, Mr. Reed. And then the second one by Darren Durst, right, of Ozone.
Yeah,
and then the third one by Joe Fosworth of Ozone. So we're going to go out with the one by Darren Durst. All right, you guys, take care. God bless. Good night.
Good night.